Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, The Lord Slays the King of the Demons, text number 13. Soham vikat damanasya. Shira kaya daramite. Gopayeta haris twadya. Yaste sharanam ipsitam. Saha hi aham I. Vakatamanasya. We're speaking such nonsense. Shira, the head. Kayat, from the body. Harami, I shall take away. Te, of you. Gopayeta, let him protect. Hari, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Twa, you. Adya, now. Yaha, he who. Te, your. Sharanam, protector. Ipsitam, desired. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because you are speaking so much nonsense, I shall now sever your head from your body. Now let me see your most worshipful God come to protect you. I want to see it. Well, at least he had a good desire. He got his wishes fulfilled. Purport. Demons always think that God of the devotees is fictitious. They think that there is no God and that the so-called religious feelings of devotion to God is but an opiate, a kind of illusion, like the illusions derived from LSD and opium. Aranyakashipu did not believe Prahlad Maharaj when Prahlad asserted that his Lord is present everywhere, because Aranyakashipu, as a typical demon, was convinced that there is no God and that no one could protect Prahlad, he felt encouraged to kill his son. He challenged the idea that the devotee is always protected by the Supreme Lord. I'll read some, there's many small verses, so I'll just read them also. Being obsessed with anger, Hiranyakashipu, who is very great in bodily strength, just chastised his exalted devotee's son Prahlad with harsh words, cursing him again and again. Hiranyakashipu took up his sword, got up from his royal throne, and with great anger struck his fist against the column. Then from within the pillar came a fearful sound, which appeared to crack the covering of the universe. Oh, my dear Yudhisthira, this sound reached even the abodes of the demigods, like Lord Brahma. Must have been pretty loud. And when the demigods heard it, they thought, oh, now our planets are being destroyed. Purport, as we sometimes become very much afraid at the sound of a thunderbolt, perhaps thinking that our houses will be destroyed, the great demigods like Lord Brahma feared the thundering sound that came from the pillar in front of Hiranyakashipu. Must have been a little closer to Brahmaloka than the earth planet. While showing his extraordinary prowess, Hiranyakashipu, who desired to kill his own son, heard that wonderful, tumultuous sound which was never heard before, which had never before had been heard. Upon hearing the sound, the other leaders of the demons were afraid. None of them could find the origin of that sound in the assembly. Like someone passes gas and you're wondering who did it. Can't find the origin. In the Bhagavad Gita 7.8, Krishna explains himself by saying, Rasoham apsnukunteya pravasi shasi suryo pranavasaravedeshu shabdake purusham rishu. O son of Kunti, Arjuna, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable om in the Vedic mantras, and the sound in ether and ability in man. He, the Lord, exhibited his presence everywhere by the tumultuous sound in the sky. Shabda K. The tumultuous sundering sound was proof of the Lord's presence. The demons like Hiranyakashipu could now realize the supreme ruling power of the Lord. And thus Hiranyakashipu became afraid. However powerful a man may be, he always fears the sound of a thunderbolt. Similarly, Hiranyakashipu and all the demons who were his associates were extremely afraid because of the presence of the Supreme Lord in the form of sound, although he could not trace out the source of the sound. Everyone's afraid of the thunderbolt except for which demon? What's that? What? No, Vrishasura got his head cut off by the thunder. Nimuchi got a benediction. He couldn't be killed by anything solid or anything liquid. So Indra was fighting against him. He was killing off all the demons in the fight on the battle of Kushura, the ocean of milk. He was killing off the demons, and then he came to Nimuchi and he threw the thunderbolt and it came back at him. Couldn't touch him. So he threw it down in disgust and was going to give up. But then he heard a voice. He said, this demon has gotten a benediction. He can't be killed by anything solid or liquid. So then what did Indra do? What kind of weapon did he throw at him? Was that? Yeah, he threw a weapon of foam at him. Cut off his head with foam. So when you're shaving, be very careful. You never know what kind of shaving cream you have. Now, obviously, Indra has very special foam. didn't come out of a shaving cream container. But that's what it says. So, generally speaking, the thunderbolt is quite powerful. It's made out of the bones. Who's the one? The sage Didichi's bones. What's that?
Pena.
Pena, like pena, yeah. Like in Sanskrit, foam. Pavargavas. Pa, ba, ba. Ma. Pa is working hard. Pa, foam with the mouth. Palena. So here it says that Hiranyakashipu was quite proud of his bodily strength, and he challenged Prahlad, where is your God? Is he in the pillar? And Prahlad said, he's everywhere. And of course, as Prabhupada says in the purport, that Narasimhadeva was looking at him, and Prahlad could see him in the pillar. Otherwise, Prahlad probably, I don't know, Narasimhadeva wanted to make sure. He said, yeah, there, he's right there. Can't you see him? And then when Hiranyakashipu hit the pillar, and before he came out, Narasimhadeva made a fearful sound that even the upper planetary systems became perturbed. There's another thing in one of our literatures where there's a sound that's made and all the demons, all the people on the other side became, their hearts became struck. Where is that? Where else? Here, we have it in the Bhagavad Gita. What happened that people, the soldiers on the opposite side, their hearts became disturbed? Yes, he blew his conch shell. The blowing of these different conch shells became uproarious, vibrating both in the sky and on the earth. It shattered the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra. Sagosho Dhartarashtranam Riddhiyani Vyadaryat Nadas Cha Pripim Taiva Tumlas Cha Dhanadabhayan. The blowing of these conch shells became uproarious, vibrating both in the sky and on the earth. It shattered the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra. So, if you have to get into a fight, what you do is have to bring along a conch shell and then blow it in such a way that shatters your opponent's heart. Easy way of winning a fight. Tumlo nadan vyadanadayan. So, abaya vaya nudnadayan, resounding. So Lord Nrisimhadeva was able to make a sound that shattered everyone's heart, although Hiranyakashipu was quite fearless, because he had been given 100 benedictions by Lord Brahma, and he was pretty much convinced that he was going to live forever, that no one could kill him. A man couldn't kill him, a beast couldn't kill him, couldn't be killed in the day and the night, inside or outside the house, by any kind of weapon. I mean, he pretty much got it down. I mean, he couldn't imagine anything being able to disturb these things, these benedictions. Therefore, he's quite fearless. And of course, Lord Nrisimhadeva will appear as half man, half lion, so he's not a man and he's not an animal. And I'll fight with him all day long until it's dusk, because it's not day and it's not night. And he won't kill him inside or outside, he'll kill him on the patio. And that's not inside and not outside. He won't kill him on the land or on the earth, he'll kill him on his lap. He won't kill him with any weapon, he'll kill him with his nails. Because nowadays, nails are weapons, but anyhow. So in that way, I don't know what the other benedictions were, but somehow or another, nothing alive and nothing dead. Anyhow, I couldn't think of 100 benedictions, but he was able to think of 100 benedictions. If he would have known about, if he would have believed in God, he would have said, God can't kill me either. But because he didn't believe in God, therefore he got into trouble. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Pravitim cha nivritim cha jana na vidur asura nisochim napichachara na satyam teshu vidyate. Those who are demons, they don't know what's to be done and what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness or proper behavior or truthfulness is found in them. So that's the qualification to be a real demon. You have to be completely bewildered, not knowing what's to be done and what's not to be done. Because what's to be done is Tasmat Shastram Pramanam De Karya Karya Vyastito Gyatva Shastram Vidanokta Karma Kartam Viharasi. One should know what is to be done and what's not to be done by the scripture. And knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that one can gradually become purified. So if one doesn't know scripture, then he doesn't know what's to be done and what's not to be done. Therefore, as Krishna says, people may say they believe in God, but agyascha sridhanascha samshayatma vinashiti nanyam lokasti na paro nasukam samshayatmanaha. But ignorance and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures go to ruin and perish. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world or in the next. So it's not an option, I can know scripture or I don't know scripture, it's all the same. As long as I change my dress or my address, then I must be a good devotee. No, everything should be done according to authority. And that authority is ultimately Shastra. The foundation is Shastra. And if you don't know Shastra, the Brahmins knew Shastra and they delivered that knowledge to the saintly kings. But if they didn't follow the Shastra, what did they get? Someone who didn't want to follow Shastra, what did they get? They got an extra emphasis. Shastra, they got a shastra. Instead of shastra, which is long, they got a shastra, which is a weapon. So we don't follow the Brahmins were give shastra, and the Kshatriyas were obliged to follow the Brahmins. And if they didn't, then the Brahmins would speak in a high voice sometimes, like in the case of King Vena. The Brahmins simply spoke in a very high-pitched voice, and they killed him. Such is the power of sound. I remember one time I went to South America, 1980 something, and we were in Peru, and Jayapataka Maharaj was singing or something. I forget who was singing. Anyhow, the glass on the pictures broke due to the sound. You ever have that experience where glass breaks due to sound? Sometimes when planes are passing over and they break the sound barrier, then they shatter the windows, even many, many miles below. So sound is so powerful, because our sound may not be so powerful, but those who actually practice their whole lives perfecting sound, they could even, by high-pitched sound, kill a powerful king like King Vena. Or, by sound, they could light a fire, such as lighting for Agnihotra sacrifice, that the Brahmins, in order to prove that they actually knew how to chant mantras before the costly sacrifice would be made, because at that time it wasn't just a little fire sacrifice like we do. You have to get, throw a little ghee in there. But they actually put in real gold and jewels and costly items into the fire sacrifice. So before they do that, first of all, they'd have to light a fire, not with some chemical, but by chanting a mantra. Otherwise, if they couldn't do that, then how are they going to control anything else? They can't even light a little fire. Then what is the power of their mantras? And then to further prove the power of their mantras, they'd kill a cow or a horse in the sacrifice, and then the Brahmins were obliged to bring the horse back to life in a new body. I mean, that takes some talent. And if the horse didn't come out, the fire sacrifice, the whole sacrifice would be canceled, because they'd just be wasting their money, wasting everyone's time. But when they did that, then they were convinced that these people actually knew what they were doing, and they performed the sacrifice for some time and offered great riches and wealth into the sacrifice. And therefore they get their desired result. So sound, the Brahmins would rule by sound, the Kshatriyas ruled by sword, or also by sound, because they were throwing astras. It's not that they were throwing these tiny little arrows that sometimes we see, oh my God, how primitive. What were the, these are supposed to be the big, big demigods ruling the universe, and they're shooting arrows. I know people in the African jungle, they also shoot arrows. What kind of technology do they have? But if you read the Mahabharata, then you'd see that they'd shoot one arrow and 1 million arrows would come from that one arrow. So a machine gun can do so, they have these rattling guns or whatever, maybe 1,000 bullets a minute or something, but they were, at one moment, they were throwing millions of arrows. So how can you avoid 1 million arrows thrown at you? If someone threw 1 million pins at you, you'd faint. But these were actually arrows, and they just keep on multiplying. Some of them would create storms like a hurricane. Some of them would create mountains that would block the hurricane. They create huge fires, brahmastras, that can wipe out the whole universe. So it wasn't just some kind of arrow, it was brahmastras. They were empowered with sound vibration. And therefore, they're able to transform. Just that one arrow was able to kill as it says in the Nectar of Devotion, that Pariksha Maharaj was hearing from Shukadeva Goswami about how Krishna, when he's fighting against Banasura, yes, Banasura was the son of the earth, like Varaha impregnated the earth, and got Banasura. And when Krishna was fighting against his army, he, according to Shukadeva Goswami, he threw three arrows from his side and killed all the soldiers on Banasura's army. I mean, that's a powerful arrow. In any case, the kshatriyas would rule by usually sword or by mantra, and then if people didn't follow them, they got the shastra. They got these weapons. So, Hiranyakashipu didn't believe in God because he was a demon. He didn't believe in the scripture. He didn't believe that Prahlad was, you know, giving him good instruction, because he wouldn't accept anything that came from the scripture, because that's what the definition of a demon is. If a demon follows the scripture, then he can't be a demon. And if a devotee doesn't follow scripture, he can't be a devotee. Therefore, asatyam apratishtam te jagaro hari nishvaram aparashvaram samyutam kimayakam ahaitukam. They say, the demons, that this world is unreal. It has no foundation, it has no God in control. It's produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust. So that's the demonic philosophy. Nihilism, or as Prabhupada came here with his mantra, both voidism and impersonalism. That's the mantra of the demons. There's no God, no one's in control here. The only thing that's going on is lust. Of course, lust means anger, greed, envy, madness, illusion, etc. That's the only thing that's what motivates and causes everything to happen in the material world. So they say like that, and that's her philosophy, and they act like that. And because they act like that, they're always in difficulty, because that's not how the material world works. Their material nature will always put them into difficulty. And not only that, but they'll put everyone else into difficulty too. Anyone else who deserves to be in difficulty, they'll become a perfect instrument to put everyone else into difficulty. So they're demons, asuras, and they're going to act not knowing what to be done, what not to be done, but their main effect will be on those people who are also just like them. The big demons will harass the little demons and give them their karma, and then the little demons will come back, become bigger demons, and give the big demons who are now big demons, they'll become little demons, and they'll be harassed by the same people they're harassing now. And life will go on eternally in the material world. Svavidra hostra karar samstuta parusha pashu niyat kara kart patyopeta jatu namagadagaja. That those who are like hogs and dogs and camels and asses. Of course, people will become very disturbed. What are, you know, these devotees are so puffed up that they're just calling people names. You read the Bhagavatam to someone, they say, "What did you call me?" "We called you a mudha." "You called me a what? A mudha? What does that mean?" As I told that story, at the airport, one Indian gentleman came, Christian Indian gentleman, and he was, Christians, Indians usually have to prove that they're real Christians. So he wanted to spend some time breaking up all the sales at the airport when we were distributing books. So finally the devotee came, he went up to everyone and said, "These people are from the devil." And so he was just, people would just get disgusted and leave, you know, this man shouting at him, trying to. So finally the devotee became so frustrated, he looked at this Indian gentleman and said, "You're a mudha." So the man started to shake, because that's a big insult in India call someone a mudha. Here you call someone a mudha, people think. Big deal. So anyhow, the man was so, he turned red, practically had a heart attack on the spot. Ran away, got the police. The police came and said, yes, what happened? He said, this man, he called me a mudha. And the policeman looked at him, what are you talking about? A what? Mudha, mudha, he called me a mudha. The policeman said, don't bother me, you know. And he walked away, and the man turned, instead of red, he turned white. And he practically fainted, and he became completely bewildered and left. So sticks and stones may break our bones, but names get to us after a while. Hiranyakashipu was wanting to kill Prahlad, but ultimately what distracted him is the sound which was meant for his death. So because they don't accept the sound coming from Shastra, therefore material nature, Kalosmi Bharatarshava, will appear before them as time and kill them. Everyone dies, as Prabhupada would always say, that if you don't bow down before the deity in the temple, then you'll have to bow down at the time of death, before Kala, time, Krishna in the form of time. So everyone has to bow down. If you don't accept the sound coming from Krishna in the Vedas, or hear Hiranyakashipu, he heard the sound which was so powerful that even the demigods heard it. But if he was still so puffed up, he thought he was going to fight against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He got his warning, and we'll find out what happens to him. But I can just tell you it wasn't very pleasant. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna, could I just ask why did also demigods who are following the principles afraid of the Nrisimhadev's roaring?
Wasn't his roaring. I don't know what sound. It came from the pillar. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was roaring at that time. I think just the sound of Nrisimhadev was in the pillar and he made some kind of sound. It didn't say it was roaring. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was. I don't know. Why are they afraid? Because everyone's afraid in the material world. They're afraid of dying. Unless we realize we're eternal, we'll always be afraid, even if you're a demigod. Demigods die sometimes also before they think they're going to die. Like when Vritrasura came, huge demon who was actually a devotee, and he fought against the demigods, then under his feet he crushed a lot of the demigods. So we may think we're going to live here for a long time, but that's not how the material nature always works. So the demigods are also always afraid. Not as much as we are, but because they're intoxicated with the happiness of being the heavenly planets, so they don't think about the fact that they're going to die. But they will die. Anything else?
Prahlada was not afraid.
What's that?
Prahlada was probably not afraid.
No, I'm sure he wasn't. I mean, because he's in his eternal position. There's nothing that was going to make him afraid because he knew who he was. He's not his body. We know if your car is going to be wrecked, but you know you're not your car, you're not going to be afraid. Especially if you have more money to buy another car, maybe a better car. So, Prahlad knew, this is not my body, belongs to Krishna. If he wants to wreck it, go ahead. It's up to him. Prahlad knew that anything that goes on in the universe is under Krishna's control. If Krishna wants to protect you, no one can defeat you. And if Krishna doesn't want to protect you, if Krishna doesn't want you to be protected, no one can protect you. So Prahlad was confident that everything is happening by the arrangement of Krishna, therefore there is no need to be afraid of anything. because everything that Krishna does is good. You know that story? Everything that Krishna, in Spanish, is todo que Krishna hace es bueno. Which means that one time one king was with his minister, and his minister was very optimistic. So whatever happened, he would always say, that's God's grace. So the king was not so pious, but he was, you know, he was a devotee, but he couldn't, you know, everything happens, like the Hare Krishna movement. Someone asked the question, oh, chant Hare Krishna. So he was getting a little tired. So, one time he was in the forest, and he took an arrow. He was hunting with his minister, and he took an arrow and he shot it, but the arrow slipped and it cut off his finger. So the king was very disturbed, and he asked the minister, well, what do you think about this? He said, whatever God does, whatever happens, it's good. So the king became furious at the minister. What do you mean everything? I just cut off my finger. Well, whatever happens is good. Everything Krishna does is good. So he said, well, what happens if I throw you into the jail? Will that be good too? He said, sure, whatever happens, whatever God wants to happen is good. So the king put the minister in the jail. But then he heard that the robbers were coming and stealing all his cows. So he got his army out to protect his cows, but he got lost, the king. And when he got lost, there were a band of dacoits looking for a man sacrifice, and they found the king and they captured him and took him before Goddess Kali, bathed him, gave him some nice prasadam, gave him his farewell, asked him if he wanted to make a farewell address. And then they were about to cut off his head before the Goddess of Kali, and the head priest said, wait a second, this man only has 9 fingers. He's not worthy to be sacrificed before the Goddess Kali. Get him out of here. So they said, we're sorry, we can't sacrifice you, you're not qualified. So they picked him up and threw him out. They said, get out of here. See if you can find something with 10 fingers and we'll see what we can do for him. So then he got out of there and he got back to his kingdom and he went to his ministry. He said, you're right, everything Krishna does is good, but tell me, what good was it that I threw you into jail? And what way was that good? He said, oh, well, actually, if you didn't throw me in jail, I would have been out hunting with you or going after the criminals with you who stole your cows. And since I'm always with you, right next to you, the dacoits would have captured me, and I have 10 fingers, they would have sacrificed me. Therefore, everything Krishna does is good. So remember that time you cut your finger. All right, thank you very much. Grandarai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.